Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service for this morning. It is Sunday, the 3rd of January, 2021. And as is customary, let me wish you a very happy new year. Let's hope that 2021 holds more happiness and joyfulness than perhaps parts of 2020 did for us. If it's your first time joining us, then please follow the links at the end of the service on the slide to keep in touch with us. We've got email address, we've got Facebook and our website. It'd be really good to stay in contact with you. Perhaps you were sent our carol service over Christmas and wanted to see what we do on a normal Sunday. So yes, if you want to stay in contact with us, then please use those links. I hope you enjoyed those two songs that we started off our service with. I really wanted to start off the new year just really praising God and using those songs to really bring us to that place of worship this morning. The first one I wanted to kind of get away with because it's sort of a Christmas carol and it sort of isn't. It's based on O Come All Ye Faithful, but Matt Redman added a load of new bits. And the second one we recorded right in this building, just a few feet that way, for a baptism about 4 years ago. And again, it's on that theme of really praising God and adoring God. And that's something that I really wanted to start off 2021 with. So I really hope you enjoyed those. Now, this morning, Kath is going to bring us the word from God. We're going to have prayers. We're going to have readings. We're going to have a few more songs that you can sing along to. But first, I just wanted to share a little video with you that I found online this week. If you know your Christmas songs, and who doesn't, because we hear them on the radio nearly 24/7 throughout December, you might know that right now we're in the middle of the 12 days of Christmas. And today, the 3rd of January, is actually day 9. Husbands and wives, expect your 9 ladies dancing to arrive any minute now from your true love. Actually, this is the one time of year that I'm glad I'm a singleton and I don't have a true love yet. So I'm not going to give or receive any of those gifts as if the rest of you do. Of course you do, don't you? That's by the by. And that was a rather cheesy grin. But anyway, so what a lot of people don't know is that the 12 days of Christmas actually has a Christian background. The 12 days of Christmas is the traditional 12 days after Christmas up to Epiphany on the 6th of January. And it's a period of time where we reflect on Christmas. It used to be called Christmastide. So Christmas lasted not just on the 25th of December, but all the way up till the 6th of January. You had 12 days of continuous partying, apparently, which to me sounds great until you realise that if you have a Christmas dinner every day, you might get a bit. So maybe that's why we don't do it anymore. But yes, so the song itself, The 12 Days of Christmas, actually does have a Christian background. And the video that I'm about to show you explains that a bit more. Just a small aside, it is written from a Catholic point of view. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but some of the things that they say might not 100% fit with what we're taught as Baptists, our Baptist teaching. But hopefully you should get the hang of most of it. Here's the video. I always find it interesting to look at those songs that we think are secular but actually have a Christian meaning behind them. I think I'd actually heard that origin before. Perhaps we'd explained it in a service a few years ago. But I seem to remember that the 12th day actually represented the 12 tribes of Israel, or maybe I'm misremembering, or perhaps it's something to do with our difference between our Protestant and Catholic tradition. But the other difference I noticed, and apparently in the Catholic tradition, there's only 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, or certainly 9 that they mentioned. I'm sure we're taught that there's a few more, you know, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, da-da-da, all those kind of things. Again, perhaps that's the difference between our traditions, but that's an aside. So, as I said at the beginning, today is the 9th day of Christmas, and according to that video, the 9th day of Christmas represents the 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not going to launch into another explanation of what they all are, what they all mean, as I'm sure we've all sat through many, many sermon series and talks about that. But today I just want to focus on one that's been particularly important for me, and I'm sure for everyone throughout 2020, and that is patience. I'm trying to avoid having our first service of the year mention the C virus word a lot, as I'm sure we've all had enough of it by now. But I think it's forced us all to rely on patience a lot more over the last 9 months since lockdown happened. And I've written down a whole list of things that you've had to be patient with. So patience with not being allowed to meet other people, patience with computers and Zoom that always seem to crash and play up at the worst possible moments. For me, particularly right in the middle of a communion service that I'm supposed to be leading. Patience when waiting in queues to be able to do our shopping at the supermarket. Patience with family that you've been locked up with for 9 months. Patience with the constantly changing regulations, and patience with those who make those regulations. But perhaps most of all, we've had to rely on our patience with God. We've been waiting on him over the past 9 months, actually for the rest entirety of our lives, but particularly on the last 9 months, to show us how this is all going to end, find out what his plan for this time is. And we really have had to be very patient. It seems like a long time we've been waiting. It's only really been 9 months, but it seems a lot longer. All around us, in the media, on social media, everywhere, people have been saying that once 2020 is over and done with, 2021 will be much better. And perhaps that might be true, but we still need patience. After all, it's not like the virus is going to look at the clock at midnight on New Year's Day and go, do you know what? 2020 has been rubbish. I'm just going to go away now. So 2021 is going to be fine. It's still going to be hanging around for a long time. Or at least I hope it will. No, I don't hope it will. At least I think it will. I would much rather the first thing happened, but I don't hope it will. I think it will. You can prove me wrong. I'm recording this on the 30th of December, so maybe by the 3rd of January, we're completely virus-free, although I very much doubt that that's the case. We will still need that patience going into 2021, patience with everything that I've just mentioned and more, I'm sure. We've just had the good news this morning as I'm recording this that the second vaccine's been approved, so hopefully that will help us to combat the virus and hopefully mean that we can get this over and done with a lot quicker. But we will still need to be patient as that gets rolled out, as we all get our vaccinations. And as long as we wait on and trust in God, we know that that patience is not in vain. We're going to have, I don't know, one or two songs now, depending on our timings. We're certainly going to have one. And it's called Waiting Here For You. It's all about waiting on God, waiting for God's power to rise up in us. And then we might have a second one after that, depending on timings. I'll let you find out. We're going to have a time of prayer now. I haven't written down any prompts of what to pray for. So I'm just going to open it up and then leave a period of silence. I won't be standing here. Perhaps I'll flash the logo up for a few minutes. So you can pray in your homes, pray quietly to yourselves, pray out loud with the people you're with. And then after a few minutes, I'll bring it back together. So shall we pray? So Lord, as we have been talking about patience a little bit this morning, I really pray that your patience does come on us. It's so frustrating sometimes having to follow these rules and regulations that really curtail what we can do with our lives. Telling us to stay at home and not go out and see people that we love and want to spend time with. And Lord, I really pray that we have the patience there. The end might be in sight now that these vaccines have been released, but there's still going to be a lot of disruption ahead of us. There's still going to be a lot of these regulations that we might not like that we're going to have to follow for the next few months whilst these vaccines are being rolled out. And Lord, I really pray for the people in authority at the moment. I've done my fair share of not particularly liking their policies, but they're doing the best that they can. And Lord, you teach us to pray for the people in authority, and we really do that now. We really pray that you'll give them the wisdom and the knowledge of what to do next. especially with the current spike in infections we're seeing in our area. And so, Lord, as we've prayed for patience, I'm going to open it up and let anyone else, as they want to pray, please pray. Amen. So, Lord, we know that you hear our prayers as we're scattered in our individual homes. And we pray that through those prayers, something of your will might be done. Amen. Kath's going to come and speak to us in a moment. But first of all, we'll have our reading for this morning. And the reading this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 6. It's Isaiah 6 verses 1 through to 8. And it's subtitled Isaiah's Commission. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were two seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." So before Kath speaks to us, shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for Kath. We thank you for her gifts. We thank you for her gifts of teaching and of knowledge and of wisdom. And we pray that she will use those gifts to speak to us this morning. We pray that whatever you've put on her heart to bring to us is what you want the church to realize and to learn about this morning. And we pray that it'll be filled with wisdom and knowledge of you. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. I hope you had a good Christmas, but more than anything, Happy New Year, and I hope it's a lot better than the last one. Do you know, it's really weird. Stood here looking at a lot of empty chairs. So I'm going to imagine that you're sat here rather than just talking to an empty room. The last week of 2019, I stood here and I spoke about the three wise men. And I was quite amused at what I'd said. This is it. I just thought I'd start with the ending of, 12 months ago. The three wise men, having met Jesus, were not the same. They changed. And being warned in a dream not to go back to see Herod, as he had asked, they adjusted the travel plans and returned home by another route. And my comments after that were, do we need to change as individuals? Do we need to change as a church? Do we need to change how we do things? Little did we know what 2020 would bring. But it just amused me that was the end of 2019. So this time, I'm not talking about the wise men. I've picked up really on Chris's Advent theme of the prophets. And they really fascinated me. Not just because of what Chris had said, but their relationship with God. I was intrigued at the conversation, if you like, or the prayerful nature of that relationship. That relationship, their communication was clear. It was incisive, straight to the point. There's no messing about with God, is there? Straight to the point. No beating around the bush. It's just there. To the point. Sometimes it's a little bit blunt and you think, ouch. But in a way, that's how we are with friends. That's what we used to. We're used to being able to pull each other's leg. We're used to teasing each other a bit. But then we do take each other seriously as well. And that was the prophet's relationship with God. They argued a bit at times, and they talked to each other. You know, it's no different than we are with friends. To go to Chris's four prophets, we started off with Isaiah, and Isaiah's real concern was that he was a man of unclean lips. He was concerned that he wasn't right for the job. I wonder if we've ever been there. But the seraphim with the live coal put paid to that excuse. God knew how to put it right. He knew how to give Isaiah the confidence to do the work that he had planned for them. We say that God knows everything about us. As with Isaiah, he also has the remedy and equips us for his further plans in each of our lives. If we're willing to be like Isaiah and respond to God as our bestest friend, if you like, he will correct and direct our futures. We can have a respect for our friends and their gifts, their sensitivities, and how much more can we respect a God that loves us more than any of our friends can? To Isaiah, God gave hope. And when Susan introduced the candles for Advent, her summary for week one was hope. And Chris spoke about our greatest hope, Emmanuel, God with us. And all because of the prophecy which Isaiah gave that Jesus would come and be everything that we need, that he would be our saviour. And Chris summed up that week with what he wanted us to respond to. And he challenged us to live life differently. I wonder, does that ring any bells? The second prophet, Jeremiah, in chapter 29, verse 11, we have that terrific reassurance that I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. But that reassurance only came after the Jews had been living under the domination of the Egyptian and Babylonian empires. We think last year was a tough one. I wonder what on earth that was like, living under those empires. Jeremiah must have been the first one to say that the result of that plan and a future was a godsend. But you know, Jeremiah had a bit of a to-do with God. He sort of argued with him. He said, I'm too young. It didn't matter, did it? Because the reassurance that God gave him was in chapter 4, verse 5. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. There's not a lot of arguing with that, really, is there? If somebody knows you inside out like that, there's no point, is there? The relationship was there from the very beginning, just needed to be accepted in order to fulfill God's plan. Is that where we are? Do we need to choose to develop our relationship with God like Jeremiah did? Do we have that responsibility to set the captives free and live in peace? Chris' response to that second Sunday in Advent was that Jeremiah wept and called the people to find God. Are we in the same position? Do we care about people we know that need to be set free? Do we need to communicate and pray with our God who has the master plan? How else will we know who or what to set free? In Micah, that was the third week, yeah, a lesser known prophet, but just as important, particularly as his message was directed mainly towards Jerusalem, rebuking them for worshipping idols and pointing towards the restoration. His message was in Micah 7:18-20. This is my paraphrase version. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives transgression? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You have compassion on us. You tread our sins underfoot. What a relationship to know God's compassion and love then, back in Micah's time, and even now. Do we have that same hope? That same hope in God? Does our prayer life and relationship with God seek to know God's plan for our personal lives and really our church lives? Chris's challenge for us in week 3 was watch in hope. Wait in hope. Because God will be there and he will answer. Week 4 was slightly different. We had Gabriel telling Mary she would have a son. And it was Mary who originally questioned the message. How can that be? But she was reassured by Gabriel to not be afraid. And that lovely response from Mary, let it be to me according to your word. I think had it been me, I'd have used the words something like John McEnroe, you cannot be serious. But no, her relationship with God was such that she trusted the messenger, Gabriel, to be telling her the truth. And she was willing to carry out God's plan. 4 very different, but very real characters. All with real reactions. Something perhaps that we could all identify with. What me? You'd got to be joking. But after questioning the messages and accepting God's good grace, they each accepted and carried out their mission in life to fulfill God's master plan. Are we accepting God's good grace for each one of us? Do we trust him to keep us safe? Something that I think most of us have said every day for the past 9 months when we've been parting from someone we know. Keep safe. Do we trust God to keep us safe? Are we prepared to develop a close relationship with God so that we'll know what our part is that we can play in his plan, both as individuals and in our church life? Are we willing to accept what God has in store for us? You know, it's lovely that God trusts us with a job, a mission for us in this world, a world that so desperately needs peace, grace, love, and safety. Are we prepared to go the extra mile? Are we able to say in the words of Isaiah 6:8, Lord, here I am, send me. I'd like to finish this morning with a song that I became aware of early in the first lockdown. Sung by many vocal talented people. But I particularly like this version by Matt and Savannah Shaw, because the relationship between father and daughter is just so apparent. The words are brilliant. Do take note. But often we say, with a song or a prayer, close your eyes. I'd like you to watch it and see this relationship between this father and daughter. And just think about it. Is that our relationship as children of God with our Father in heaven?
Thanks, Kath, and thank you for bringing that song to us. I'm sure I might have heard it before. Perhaps you mentioned it to us early on in lockdown. You said it'd been going round your head. So thank you for bringing it to us again this morning. We're going to carry on in worship now. There's a few songs that we're going to sing, and then I'll close the service after a few of them. So that's the end of our service for this morning. Thank you for joining us. As I said at the beginning, if this is your first time, the way to contact us is going to come up on the slide in a few seconds at the end. If it's your millionth time, then I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, we've got our Zoom chat at 12. It'd be good to catch up with you, see what you've been doing over the new year. Although I suspect the answer is not much, because we've been following the rules and being staying at home. So we'll see you then. God bless. Goodbye.